afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2008, and I am so excited to be here. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale. Start thinking green this spring and choose from the world's largest selection of natural and organic cosmetic spaces. Learn more at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, we've all heard of the saying, being a big fish in a big pond, when we refer to someone who is well-known around the world in a field that everyone is familiar with. What many people know far less about is what it means to be a big fish in a little pond, and that's the subject of today's show. We're going to be talking with Susan Friedman, author of Riches in Niches, How to Make It Big in a Small Market. She's going to be sharing with us about her book as well as something that she calls the nichepreneur concept. Susan's also going to fill us in on her seven steps to growing a successful business by focusing squarely on a small niche market. Which leads me to the perfect indie co-host for today. Her name is Debbie Balazikian, and she's the owner of Monavay Mineral Cosmetics. Debbie joined the Indie Beauty Network in April 2002 and has been a participating member ever since. At Monavay, Debbie makes mineral cosmetics including lip glosses, lipsticks, bronzers, and mineral makeup foundation, and also sells kits to help you create makeup to perfectly match your skin color and type. Debbie joins me today from her offices in Baltimore, Maryland. Debbie, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Debbie, tell me a little bit about your niche. I mean, this is mineral makeup, and of course, as a cosmetics manufacturer, you could have manufactured a whole bunch of different types of cosmetics. Why did you choose mineral makeup, Debbie?
I choose mineral makeup actually because it kind of chose me. It fell in my lap. I met this amazing product and completely fell in love with it and just had to make it a part of my life. And the way I made it a part of my life was to learn how to make it so that I could have control over the formulations, understand the ingredients, know exactly what I was going to provide to my customers. And along those lines, I could definitely say that my niche is people who are looking for natural makeup that's beautiful. It's not natural makeup that's handicapped because it's natural, which I think is a lot of what was going on when I was trying on natural makeup as a teenager and something in my early 20s. It just would never perform. The mascara was clumpy. The foundation was sheer. The lipsticks were waxy and hard, and you just couldn't get the performance that you needed. So instead of approaching it as, oh, I'm going to make natural makeup, I said I'm going to make natural makeup that's the most amazing makeup, and that's where mineral makeup fit the bill. As soon as I tried it, I recognize the potential for performance in mineral makeup. That's just intrinsic to the formulations.
You had a job at another cosmetics company before you started your business, right?
I did. It was short-lived.
Did that give you kind of an idea of the fact that you would, in fact, you know, need to have some kind of focus and not just, you know, cosmetics in general?
Yes. The company that I originally, was introduced to mineral makeup through focused on the glamour market. And I was working, my kiosk, my first business was located in an area with a lot of working women from the ages of 25 to 60, and a lot of different ethnicities, and especially African American. And the makeup that I was selling, although it was fun, it had the potential that I saw in mineral makeup, it just didn't suit my clientele, and so I was really responding to who I was looking at every day and who I was dealing with every day when I designed my line.
And, Debbie, not only do you have a line of finished cosmetics, you also teach people how to make their own cosmetics. Tell us a little bit about that.
When I started, there was no information available on how to make mineral makeup. I just learned it the hard way, and it took a long time, and it was very frustrating to try to find suppliers. There really weren't any suppliers for what I was looking for. I sort of created my own supply line. And along the way, as my website sort of gained a little more prominence on the internet, other women trying to make mineral makeup started contacting me and saying, do you want to share information? So we sort of helped each other along. But as I started getting more and more requests for that, I realized that it was a waste of time to keep answering emails and doing drafts, and that I should just put it all together, mm-hmm. put it in one place, and say, okay, if you want to learn how to do it, here's something that you can buy that's reasonable. It's a kit, and it'll have all of my knowledge in there, and then I'll offer you support beyond the kit, so you can call me when you're having trouble. And so I just felt that it was a better way to use my my time and my talent and my what I learned doing it the hard way. And my feeling on it is that I'm not a big believer in competition, because I do believe you're looking for your clientele, and they're looking for you. But I do believe that it's important to have as many alternatives to synthetic / toxic makeup as possible. So the whole purpose of my kits is to initiate and nourish other businesses that will then have a natural product line that women can go to instead of going to, their convenience store or Rite Aid to buy their makeup.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Debbie, because, you know, it's interesting that you talked about sort of the natural growth of your business from creating the end with the finished product to helping people make their own to also helping other people start their own businesses using the products that you make, and you've got a kit. So you really have, you know, established yourself as an expert in your particular niche. And Susan Friedman, our guest today, of course, is an expert in that particular area. She has traveled the world helping companies put their best foot forward at different industry events. She has been a guest on a variety of radio talk shows, and now I'm thankful to add the best radio talk show in the world to that list here at Indie Business Radio. And Susan is the author of Riches in Niches, How to Make It Big in a Small Market. Susan, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
It's good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
If you have a question or comment for Susan or for Debbie, I hope you'll join us, 800-773-0355, or you can email your question to me at info@indiebusinessradio.com. Susan, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became sort of the nichepreneur expert.
Well, it all started off when I was in the trade show industry, and I wanted to just differentiate myself a little bit. I found that, as I thought when I went into my business in 1989, that I was the only person out there who wanted to educate exhibitors to help them be more successful at trade shows. And I decided, you know, there was nobody offering this service. Little did I know, you know, I found out later on there are a few other people. But at the time, I felt that I was the only one doing it. And so I sort of started my whole campaign to do everything I could to help exhibitors be successful, to educate them, because they just did not know how to work trade shows. And if any of you have ever been to a show, you know exactly what I mean.
it's tough. And, you know, reading your bio and a little bit about you at your website, it shows that you have this tremendous amount of expertise as a trade show expert, and of course you're calling yourself the trade show coach, but I discovered you because you took that expertise and you translated it into a book to help other people find a niche as you did in the trade show industry.
Absolutely, and I was asked by several of my colleagues, you know, well, how did you become an expert? You know, and I had to think about it because, to be honest with you, I did not plan it quite in the way, you know, that I outline it in the book, because I had to think about it afterwards. Well, what did I do? And then when I looked at what I did, I suddenly realized there was a strategy. You know, and I've, over the last 20-plus years, I've realized, you know, some things worked, some things didn't, you know. And so, but I formulated the fact that there is a strategy, and it's a strategy that can be duplicated, and anyone can use it. Any small business, any professional service person, you know, I mean, Debbie just talks so well about her makeup and what she's doing in that field and how she's become an expert there. And I'm sure if I went through some of my principles that she'll say, yes, that's something that I used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, your book goes through what you call seven specific strategies to help people in any industry kind of go through this. And I want to go through those, but first I want to ask you, Susan, you know, just taking Debbie as an example, and of course as the president of the Indie Beauty Network, I work with hundreds and hundreds of people every day who have businesses in this particular niche, selling some kind of cosmetic, beauty, aromatherapy products, candles, and health and lifestyle types of products. And one of the things that I really want to pick your brain about real hard, we're going to be digging down really deep here.
You're going to test me. You're going to put me to the test.
No, I mean, obviously, your book is, you know. But, you know, it's such a leap sometimes to help people or to encourage them to see the benefit of putting in the effort that it takes to do something like Debbie's done. For example, once you establish your niche selling mineral makeup, you have a system down, you know what colors are popular, you know what goes with what skin color, et cetera, et cetera. Then you start getting these emails from people who want help with this and help with that. And Debbie's idea to package all that into a kit is perfect. But so many times as indie business owners, we are so exhausted from just selling the makeup that we have a good run on that the idea of creating a whole new product is just, you know, there's no guarantee, of course, that any of this is ever going to sell. So, you know, what would you say to people out there who are like, you know, I really do need to create a new income stream based on the expertise that I have in this area, in Debbie's case, mineral makeup? How do I do that? What kind of mindset do I need to agree to bite more off than I already have?
And I think that's fabulous. I love that, because the fact is that one of the things that I've been on Debbie's website, and what she's done so brilliantly is to create these kits that anyone can do it. So that's the brilliance that I believe that Debbie's brought to this. And what this reminds me of, too, is there's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Michael Gerber, and he's written a book. It's a classic called The E-Myth, and he's just come up with E-Myth Mastery. And what he says is that if you can take your business and you can duplicate it several thousand times, where you don't have to be the one constantly there operating it, but mm-hmm. that it can work on its own. Mm-hmm. And what Debbie's done is to create these kits which allows that to happen, so that she can produce these kits and sell these kits and then obviously offer, you know, the extra help where people need it. But the fact is that good old saying, she's teaching people how to fish so that they can learn to do it themselves. And that's exactly the focus of the Riches and Niches book, is it's literally, and I know that you've read it, that it's a how-to, it's a recipe book of how to do this and how to establish what I call your expert identity. And, you know, in Debbie's case, it's to show that she really is an expert in, you know, this mineral makeup, this natural makeup.
Right. And we're going to come back after our break and talk with you, Susan, about your seven strategies. And we're going to talk with Debbie, too, because, Debbie, you know, I know you and I had a conversation last week about those kits, and, you know, Debbie's wearing all the hats. I mean, she's got some really good employees that are helping her, but, you know, the buck stops with her, and she's a single mom of two active boys, and, you know, it gets tough sometimes to add another thing, but the potential that she has with these kits are obviously great. So we're going to come back and talk with both of you a little bit more about this expertise. And when we come back, Susan, my first question to you, just so we know, is going to be how to help people actually part their lips to say, I am an expert at, because so many people, particularly women, are terrified of saying that. We'll talk about that. When we come back, this is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm Donna Maria, and we're here this afternoon with my guest indie co-host, Debbie Belazikian from Monave Mineral Cosmetics, as well as our guest, author Susan Friedman. She is the author of Riches in Niches, How to Make It Big in a Small Market. And before our break, Susan, I was asking you what you thought about the challenge or the hurdles that some people experience when they have to stand up and say, I'm an expert at blah, blah, blah. Why is that a challenge for so many people, and what can you suggest to help people overcome that?
Well, I think one of the things that you mentioned, that it was so hard for women to say that we as women sort of want to, we don't like to brag about ourselves and necessarily to say, hey, you know, I'm an expert at this. Guys seem to be able to do it much more easily than us women. Now, the fact is, you've got to believe it before you can say it. You know, we can say lots of things, but if we don't have the passion behind those words and we don't feel it, nobody is ever going to believe it. So we've really got to feel it first. And we're all expert at something. Obviously, if you're going to take this into the business arena, you've got to feel extremely confident that you really are the expert, and that, you know, you are out there, and if somebody comes up and they can ask you a question, you know the answer, or if you don't, you know how to find it, and you've got the resources to help people. I mean, I can't answer everybody's question, but I have a ton of resources that I'm always directing people to, so that in and of itself helps establish the expert identity as well. I don't have to have all the answers. And I think that, too, is a relief for people to know that they don't have to know it all, because they think they do if they're the experts. And, of course, that's pretty impossible, because we can't know everything.
Donna Maria, I'd like to just say that I was cringing when you were calling me an expert, so I guess I'm a typical female. And then I was analyzing, you know, as you're discussing it, why I wouldn't think of myself as that, and I'm thinking about a week ago when my new production manager said to me, you know, these mineral pigments are really hard to work with, and I said, yep, and he said, I'm going to go online and I'm going to find a book that really breaks it down for me, and I said, there isn't one. I said, if there is one, it's basically a takeoff of anything that I've put out there, and then they might have learned a little bit here and there. I said, there's nobody who wrote about this. I said, I'm it. And he just kind of looked at me as if, you know, are you crazy? And I just looked at him. I said, I'm it. I'm right here. All you have to do is ask me anything you want, and all the information that you need is right here. And it's a really hard thing to say, though.
But you started to practice, which is the main thing. And you're practicing in a safe environment.
That's so interesting about what Debbie said. I know Debbie joined my organization in 2002. She was doing this before that. So we're already talking about from 2002 to 2008. And, you know, honestly, if you're making a profit on one thing for that long and you're not an expert, I mean, how does that possibly happen? And so I just, you know, want to encourage not just Debbie, but anybody out there. You know, sure, other people know about mineral makeup. Lots of people are selling it and they're doing okay. But, you know, you have got these great kits, and you have, you know, even a niche within your niche, too, Debbie, because you focus a lot on darker skin tones.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've really, you know, just word of encouragement to you and by way of example, other people that, you know, when you've been doing something for 6 years, making a living, putting food on the table, you know, I mean, Susan, what do you think? You got something there. You got some expertise there somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You just don't keep going, you know, without an expertise and people acknowledging that, because obviously people like the product. They like dealing with you because they're coming back for more, and, you know, the word of mouth is spreading. So, yes, I mean, it's a beautiful website. I mean, I keep clicking on things, and I'm just enjoying it immensely.
Not only that, Susan, she's not just reselling products that someone else makes. She makes this stuff. She buys the raw mineral pigments in bulk, and she creates every single color you see there herself.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. One of the things that I would like to see you do more of, Debbie, mm-hmm. is to really let people know about that expertise, have more tips or checklists and mm-hmm. guidelines on the site. Or mm-hmm. I don't know if you have a blog or if you have a newsletter. You know, I know it's like this scary thing. People are sort of like, oh, do I really have to have one? And it's just becoming part of what people mm-hmm. expect now. And it's another way to get that expertise out
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm. Donna Maria, we just talked about this last week. She said, Debbie, you need a blog. So we were just talking about it, and I have a forum, but I think a forum is a little bit different than a blog, and
Absolutely.
A blog is really sort of the trend for today.
It is. And you can do an enormous amount of research, too, using that blog. You can be asking for feedback
mm-hmm.
From your readers, and, you know, do you already have any kind of list that you mail to on a regular basis, or you could if you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would start with that as well. I mean, maybe you just put out a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
But the newsletter and the blog are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because the blog just goes out there into the stratosphere, and you don't know who's going to pick it up.
I just did a newsletter to my wholesalers for February, and I didn't advertise anything. You know, it was directed toward, and Donna Marie is my mentor for something like this. She, you know, I faithfully read the Indie Beauty newsletter, and back then it was called Handmade Beauty, and actually the Handmade Toiletries Association, and she has been very influential in teaching me how to deal with the pitfalls of owning your own business, especially if you haven't really ever learned how to own your own business. And so I directed, the whole newsletter was directed at what to do when it's slow. Like, how do you get through the panic of January and February when you have a business in the cold parts of the country?
Yep.
You know, how can you make that a positive? And I had people writing back saying thank you, because everybody, we're all collectively, you know, we have collective angst as business owners, and these are my customers, and I care about them. And I know that they're going through exactly the same thing my business was going through. So I told them, here's what I'm doing this month. I'm assessing my inventory. I'm restructuring, you know, my staff. I'm taking time to go back to places like Indie Beauty, where I have not been working closely with Donna Maria as I did in the past, and say, Donna Maria, I need to do something with you. And going back and saying, what was working before? What can I do that'll work today? And just doing sort of, I call it winter cleaning. And the whole newsletter was just about that. And everybody said, thank you.
Fabulous, fabulous. Something else you might want to consider is maybe even doing like a teleseminar,
mm-hmm.
which are very easy to set up. You know, you get a bridge line. Donna Marie can help you with that,
mm-hmm.
and you do a session on, you know, they just call into a number
mm-hmm.
at a certain time, a certain date, and you can do a lot of this just talking to them as well,
mm-hmm.
and have them share some of their concerns, and, you know, have a little bit of a discussion over the phone as well. People
mm-hmm.
will love it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll pay to attend that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's interesting,
more value when they pay for it, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It's you know, sometimes you get messages from the universe on where you need to, what direction you need to take, because my wholesale account executive has been really brainstorming, using her knowledge of the industry as an esthetician, as someone who's developing my wholesale customers' businesses with me, that this is what she wants to do, is seminars. And she said, Deb, I don't want to travel. I have a 3-year-old. She works out of home right now. She has a home office, and it works perfectly with child care, which is what I love to do, you know, with all of my staff and customers as well, is how do you combine being a mom with making money. And she said, I don't want to travel 5 times a year.
So then you have to look at how can you turn it into something where you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And now with all the online capabilities,
mm-hmm.
it's so easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've never had it so easy, mm-hmm. in terms of doing business.
Let's talk about that too, Susan, because your 7 success strategies really play into that. So let's talk about what they are. In your book, as you outline them, you've got 7, you call them Susan's secret success strategies. Of course, it's not secret anymore because they're in your book.
That's right.
Millions
you've
got
to read them to find them.
We can only really hit upon each one really quickly.
Absolutely.
I encourage everyone to get the Riches and Niches book, because we really can't cover in the level of detail that you need to implement these strategies just in the next few minutes. But let's just run through quickly what they are, Susan, as an overview to help people see how beneficial the book can be.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, starting off with my first secret, and that is, I call it the name of the game, is, you know, what do you call yourself? I love giving the example of myself. When I started out in business in 89, I called myself Diadem Communications. I thought this was so cool. The problem is that nobody knew what on earth I did. You know, the fact that, you know, the whole idea, the word diadem, just a little bit of trivia for you, but the word diadem means a sign of distinction. It's that laurel wreath, the crown, you know, the emperors in Roman times wore. And so that's called a diadem, or any kind of sort of like crown. So that was the idea, but nobody realized that, and it had no relationship to trade shows whatsoever. And it was only when I realized that people had no clue what I did, that I changed the name to the trade show coach, and then all of a sudden people realized, oh my goodness, now we know what she does. Maybe not exactly, but at least there's a focus. I'm in trade shows, and I will coach you, in that arena. So when I made that transition, my business took a quantum leap in terms of success and people understanding who I was and what I did. So I believe the name that you give your company is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I know so many people love their last name. And you know what? Nobody gives a hoot. It doesn't say anything about who you are and what you do.
Debbie has done such a fantastic job. What MONAVE stands for?
MONAVE stands for Modern, Natural, and Versatile. I started out with the name Pure Look,
uh-huh.
which just sounded awful, and I even had cards made, and they looked awful. They were pink, and I said, this is just not going to work. And so I just tossed around words that I thought expressed the essence of the makeup, and then I took out the first 2 letters of each name, each adjective, and then just put them into 3 or 4 different, formations, and passed them around the mall where I worked and said, which one do you like? And everybody picked MONAVE. Everybody picked the Vista. That's pretty.
Fabulous. Yeah. I tell you what I really like about it is because of what you sell, and it's got that sort of, French je ne sais pas, it's got this feeling of class about
right.
it. And that is so important when it comes mm-hmm. to makeup and skin.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yes, there are lots of companies out there that are using natural this and pure that.
Right.
But this has class.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you might not know what it means, it's okay, you can get away with it. I couldn't.
Yeah, well, right, you just had to be more direct.
When you're offering coaching services and motivation, rolls off of my tongue.
And, yes,
Susan, it's so important to choose a name that makes some sense and kind of can flow quickly into your slogan or your elevator speech.
Absolutely.
So, Susan, what's the second step?
The second one is one of my favorites, and it's called building your media muscle. And the media, as we're using now, is such an incredibly powerful tool. The fact is, though, that so many people are scared of it just because they don't understand it more than anything else.
And we're going to have to come back and talk about that as well, because it's such an important part of growing a business, and I love that it's so high on your success strategy.
Oh my goodness, this is it, you know, when I, you know, I told you that I had to go through and analyze what strategies I used, I realized that I had put pretty much most of my eggs into this basket.
Oh, well, good. Well, then we have to spend some time on come right back with Susan and talk about the eggs in her basket and how good they must taste. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. Before we went to break, Susan said that she put all her eggs in the media basket, in hindsight, she says, when she moved into her success in her niche. Susan, tell us about that, the media. It's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a big deal. It really is. And realizing that the media need you as much as you need them. You know, you couldn't do this radio program without people to interview, like Debbie and myself, and obviously all the wonderful people you've had before and you'll have after. So you need people. The print media need people. You know, television need people. And they love experts. They go to experts first. So this whole, you know, building your expert identity, you know, it comes as part of being on the media as well as beforehand, so that the media come to you. It's a sort of push-pull strategy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I love it. I always say, though, you have to look at where is your target audience. You know, for the trade show environment, my target audience is through print media.
Right.
You know, I've done radio, I've done television. It is not as effective. Now, other, in, you know, people, radio, TV, especially locally, if you concentrate on a local market, that might be more beneficial, you know, depending on how you need to reach your target audience. So I know and understand how my target audience functions.
Good, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because a lot of times people just don't know. Everybody knows instinctively, kind of, you know, how do I get the media to talk about my product or my service or how I can help their readers, but they don't know what to do next. And you just mentioned a great starting point. That is, where does it make sense for anybody to learn about me?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, so many people have said, oh, you've got to go on Oprah, you've got to go on Oprah. I'm not sure that Oprah's the right fit for me.
Right, exactly.
You know, yes, would it be nice? Absolutely. But I don't know yet in terms of, is this the right audience for me? Now, something like the Donny Deutsch show, The Big Idea, there I think I've got a good fit. But, you know, so I'm looking at, you know, where's the right fit for me?
Where's the right fit?
Mm-hmm.
So the next step is networking.
Networking. The third strategy I call moving the movers and shaking the shakers. And that's all about speaking and networking at industry events. And the whole concept about niching, which we haven't really touched on exactly, but the fact is to look at an industry and niche or niche yourself in that industry, or maybe by topic or expertise, as Debbie, you know, she's in an industry, she's in the cosmetic skincare industry. So it's finding that and looking at, you know, all of these places have conferences, they have things like this, you know, this program, there are other programs, web seminars now, teleseminars, conferences, workshops, you know, can you speak at them? You should be there networking with people. So you've really got to know and understand your industry. You've got to be seen and be heard in as many environments as you can. And that helps to build, again, that expert identity.
And the great thing, too, today, Susan, as you said earlier, is you don't actually have to physically press the flesh to do that.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you've got, because we've got the internet now, we've got the online capabilities. You know, I write an article at least once a month that I have put out on, I'm on about 360-plus websites now. And that's a strategy because I want to be out there. I want people to get my information, to find it. I can't wait for them just to come to my website and find me. So, you know, and the way the search engines go, as I'm sure you know, the more times your name's out there, the more times you have the possibility of them coming to your website.
And that brings us to your next strategy, which has to do with writing.
Writing, absolutely. So the number four, Bill, catching writing fever. Again, this is something that people, you know, absolutely shy away from because they think they can't write. Well, if you really, really have a problem, there are lots of people out there who can write, who can write for you. Don't think that lots of these, you know, famous people have written their own books or write their own articles and things. They have other people do it, ghostwriters. So the fact is that if you don't feel comfortable doing it, find somebody who is. There are lots of journalistic students. There are PR students. Say, you know, people who do freelance work. You know, go to Elance.com, Guru.com, Craigslist. You name it. Those different, and search for people who, you know, can do what you are looking for if you can't. But the thing is to write. Start off with tips, start off with articles, checklists. People love this kind of thing. And then, you know, articles can turn into chapters, and chapters turn into books.
So it's a natural progression.
It
sounds like you kind of got your writing into some kind of syndication. How do you do that? What are some of the steps to doing that? Is that outlined in your book, too?
I talk about it. I talk about, you know, all different ways of, you know, what you can do with your writing and where you can go with it, because there are so many different avenues. And the fact is, it goes back again to your target audience. Where are they? Who are they? What do they read? You know, some target audiences just don't read, in which case, you know, maybe, you know, the written word isn't really where the way you need to go. You know, it might be something like, you know, a radio program or a TV.
So what's step number five, Susan?
Step number five is producing educational material. Now, look at what can you produce. You know, going back to Debbie as our great example, she's produced these kits, and she's also doing seminars and things. And, you know, one thing she can do to take it a step further is maybe she can record some of this and, you know, make it available and sell it. Anybody who loves her stuff is going to buy anything that she has in terms of her being able to share her expertise. They're looking for that. So it's almost like you don't want to hide your expertise under a bushel. You want to put it out there in as many different forms as you can. And that also goes along with the next strategy, which is literally looking at developing products. Products, systems, people love this kind of thing. You know, can you put something out on CD? Can you do it as a download? I was talking to a woman today who was putting out some booklets, and I said, you know, if you don't have to have the expense of printing it, turn it into a PDF and make it available as a download. You can do it as a freebie, or you can do it as a something that somebody pays for.
Well, and one of the things, too, I think I may not have seen this at Debbie's website, but certainly she could do something like this by creating a checklist of colors that go together to create a particular look, like the romantic look or the holiday look. And she could put together the colors of the makeup and the lipstick and whatnot that go together to help a woman with dark skin, light skin, olive skin, whatever, create that look.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. It would be absolutely phenomenal. And again, this could be something, this could be a service that's on her site, or it could be something that, you know, you pay for.
Right.
You know, she could put together all different things like that. So that's a brilliant idea, and I think that would go down extraordinarily well. Or it could be the look of the month or the look of the week. You know, so
you know, I just looked. MineralMakeupCoach.com is available.
There you go.
So what's number six, Susan?
Number six is, I mentioned, developing the products. You know, the expert's always in, I call it. You know, and I talk about in the book, how do you create these informational products? You know, things that, you know, people are doing now on the websites and everything, and these downloadable products. You know, doing an audio piece and making that available, turning that into an MP3 and making that available as a download. You know, even things like what you're doing now, and then, you know, home study courses. I mean, that's something, you know, Debbie's sort of getting on the verge of some of this stuff. But if she would be, I know one of the things that she said, she wants to look at how she can duplicate this, and one of the ways is to create more of these kits and, you know, these ways, these systems that people can buy, and they get everything they need in there.
Right. I love that. And last but not least, your...
Last but not least, yes, I talk about, I call it the wind beneath their wings. And literally this is offering services, offering consulting, coaching services. You know, people want that part of it as well, so that here you're the expert, and they want to work with the expert, and people will pay, and sometimes they'll pay big money to be able to work one-on-one with you.
And so when you find out that you have an area of expertise, you position that to help other people. And then everything that you just described, all seven steps, just kind of fall into line.
They do. They do. Now, you don't have to do all seven. And you know, when we talk about this number seven, too, this last one, you know, I talk in the book about licensing and franchising and finding strategic partners, affiliate programs. You know, so there are a lot of things that you can do as well. Now, what I say right at the beginning of the book, as you know, is that I talk about the fact that please don't try and do all of this. I say read the book, definitely, and look at what's available, but don't feel that you have to do all of these at once, because you just won't. Pick one strategy, work that strategy, and then move on to another one. So it's a progression.
You can pick these kind of a la carte. And
absolutely.
You have to do all of them, and you can really just pick the one that makes the most sense for you in terms of investment of time and resources and potential return, and then go from there.
Absolutely, or where you're at with your business. I mean, if you're just starting out, I mean, the first couple of chapters, I talk about, you know, how do you even go about finding the right niche for yourself? You know, because that in and of itself can be something that, well, I don't really know which niche I should be in. And then people say to me, well, you know, Susan, well, you know, I'm scared about just putting all my eggs into one basket.
Right.
Because,
right.
You know, what if somebody wants something else? Do I not offer it to them? Well, no, you can still offer it, but what you want is to focus as much of your attention in one niche area so that you become the expert in that, because otherwise if you start getting into too many niches, because that's what people also say, well, can I be in several niches? Well, you can. The only problem is that you dilute your energy and effort in each one of these areas. So I always say, you know, start with one, and then if you want to go into a second one, then that will work, you see. So, for instance,
I can't be all things to all people.
You can't be all things to all people, and don't be frightened not to be. You know, people come to me and say, you know, will you do that? I mean, I had a couple of people last week who called me up and said, you know, they want to create a new trade show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not the right person for you. That's not what I do.
Right.
So I tell them straight away. I give them some resources of people who do what they're looking for. And I say, thank you for calling me.
Right. And it's so important, as you say, too, to choose that niche, because, you know, of course, people are terrified to do that and they're afraid to do that. But really, that's what entrepreneurship is all about, is taking those risks.
Absolutely, absolutely. Taking the risks.
How we can find out more about your services and all the wonderful things that you're doing.
Okay, well, richesandniches.com is the website, which goes along with the book, Riches and Niches, How to Make It Big in a Small Market, and that's available on Amazon.com. Or if people want to go to richesandniches.com and then do /book, I have, I think there are about 15 different bonus gifts that people can get if they want to buy it that way. But if they just want to go to Amazon and, you know, not do that, that's fine. Now, if they do go to my website, then I am offering, if you sign up for my newsletter, I am offering a free special report called The Nichepreneur Mindset, and that's available on that website as well. So it's all there for
us. This is a wonderful resource. I have a lot of authors and wonderful experts in different areas on the Indie Business Radio show, and all of them are fantastic. And this one is really the only one so far that has really gone into this kind of how to really, really drive home a specific niche. And I love this book for that reason. I thank you so much for writing it and also for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Here on Indie Business Radio. Thank you so much. We are going to have to wrap things up, believe it or not, with thanks to my Indie co-host today, Debbie Belazikian of Monavay Mineral Cosmetics, and also, of course, to my guest, Susan Friedman of richesinniches.com. And special thanks, of course, to you, my listeners, for allowing me to spend this time with you today. I hope you'll join me this Thursday night, March the 6th, at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time for Blogging for Business, my free group coaching session. We'll be covering what blogging is, what it is not, how it can enhance your business or not, and the most popular blogging platforms and how to choose the one that would work for you. Remember that you can stream or download all of my Indie Business Radio shows, and there are over 100 of them now, at indiebusinessradio.com, all 100% free and at your disposal 24 hours, 7 days a week. Indie Business Radio is produced by Indie Business Media, LLC. I hope you'll join the discussion at the Indie Business blog, and I hope you'll join me next week for another edition of Indie Business Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.